it just may be that this is a mirror image of what is possible for us to build for a functional society, a republic that operates only above the line and without trust. Think about that, that little pairing of words right there, without trust. Doesn't mean that it's functional. Doesn't mean that that's going to be your remedy. Because without trust
is anarchy.
Exactly.
You want to be in a republic with anarchy and everybody around doing their own thing?
Because that's what it is. It's self-governing.
Stealing from you and beating you up at night and taking away your assets? Is that what you want?
That's the world we lived in prior to what we have now. Now, there is another possibility, but it requires a shift in consciousness, a paradigm shift that we've been talking about, where I'm no longer coming from what's in it for me. I'm no longer coming from there's not enough. I'm no longer coming from hoarding because of my sense that there's not enough and scarcity. I need, in order to create a functional society, I need to create trust. I need to create balance and abundance through operating not in a way that what's in it for me, meaning I don't go around doing because of what I'm going to get in return, but I go around creating for the benefit of all my brothers and sisters and have faith that all I need will be provided to me. And as this shift in consciousness happens and we all start to direct our energy and how can I serve the brothers and sisters around me, and all of them start doing the same thing, we'll all be taken care of. But see, what that requires is trust and faith. And that's really where greed is born, is that lack of faith, that sense of scarcity, which isn't necessarily true. It's what we make up, that there's not enough. So start to at least toy with the idea that another paradigm is possible, because as your consciousness rises, as you start to toy with these thoughts and ideas of operating from a non-profit sensibility, meaning I'm not doing this for what's in it for me, I'm doing this to be of service to others. And as others start to be of service to others, we start to create a system that is generative as opposed to degenerative. We start to create something that is abundant as opposed to scarce. So this model is perfect for us to really wrap our heads around, not necessarily being sovereign. We want to be sovereign, but we want to be sovereign in the sense of being in service. I mean, look at our past. What happens when a sovereign is only concerned with himself? He's a tyrant. He's a tyrant. And the masses starve and they go without. But if a sovereign treats all others as sovereign and comes from a place of how can I be of service to my brother and sister sovereign, we can completely turn this paradigm upside down and make and create something beautiful, something in harmony, something in balance. But it takes a shift in consciousness. There is no how-to map for this. Because until it's born in your heart and consciousness of a way of being in service to others, we can't bring it about in our reality. So remember we were talking about being a creditor, being a practice that you take on in your life? Start to take that on at a personal level. How can you be in service to your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your cousin? cousins, your uncles, your neighbors, your friends, strangers. How can you be in service? I don't mean give them money. That's not necessarily being in service. We have to get out of the idea that money, especially in the form of Federal Reserve notes, fixes problems. Who's the source of the solution? What's the source of solutions? We are. So let's start to foster an idea that we can be in service to each other. There's a gentleman who, this is probably the first workshop he hasn't been at since we started doing workshops. And he never asked for a benefit in the sense that it's not that he's got a lot of resources, but every time he comes, he's not only donating to our cause so that we can create more, but he's not just sitting there receiving either. He comes here, donates the money to be here, and then the entire time he's here, he's in service to the space. He'll go back, grab microphones, and when someone starts talking, he'll run over and hand him a microphone. He's just naturally coming from a place of being in service and creating. And if we all start to take on this in every aspect of our lives, like think about it, in your work environment, how can I be in service to my fellow employees if I'm an employee? If I'm a service provider, rather than looking at it, how can I make money? How can I be in service to my community? You'll be able to build very successful businesses if you come from as, what's the need? How can I serve? If that's your focus, your value goes way up. Because you're not, it's not the bottom line you're focused on. How can I squeeze as many dollars as I can out of my clients? My focus is, how can I be of the most service to my clients? How can I serve them the best? And in that sense, that's how I look to run what we do. That's why I drove across the country with all this equipment. Because if we'd have paid to have this equipment here, we'd have had to charge double the donation to let you in here. It just wouldn't have happened. So how can I be in service? I'll drive 34 hours, actually 41 hours. Should have only been 34, but I had to rest. But so rather I drove it to get it here to be of service. Gordon, Jack, they're always in service. I can call any of them at any time. They're not going to say, well, Brandon, it's going to cost you. They can call me at any time. And I'm not telling them, well, Gordon, it's going to cost you. Yeah, now everybody, everybody's got Gordon's number.
It's going to cost you.
But it's something we can practice every day. It's something that we can look at in every aspect of our lives. Like, it's such a wonderful thing to be with friends, family, loved ones in a way of being in service to them. It's one of the most rewarding things you can do. And have faith that you will always be provided for. Because when you hit hard times and you've been nothing but in service to all those around you, you know how easy it is to ask for support? This economic crisis that this country is facing is a blessing. Because it's waking everyone up to what's really important. We're afraid to ask for support when we're losing our house. Why? Because we never gave any support. Why should anybody give us any? But if all we ever do is serve, 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 when we need the support, we're not ashamed to ask for it. I need support. Can you support me? And if you're the person who's constantly in service, watch. People will jump to serve you. I know this from my experience. It's funny because I'm constantly pushing it away, people wanting to serve. And that's not serving me. Because in pushing away people wanting to serve my endeavors, I'm actually restricting how much I can serve. And that's clogging the flow of what comes in. When you're restricting what comes in, you're also restricting what can go out. When you're restricting what goes out, you're going to restrict what comes in. You got a cash flow problem? Look at that. Because cash is just a representation of your energy. How are you giving it? How are you receiving it? Because it's not bad to receive. If we start to look at everything that we give and receive as gifts, we operate in the world of exemption. You realize that? That's why the IRS itself has even structured its code such that when you're coming from a place of we're gifting our service, we're gifting everything we do, and all we receive as support are gifts, you're exempt. They won't touch you. Because you're not harming the community, you're benefiting it. They recognize that. That's why you're exempt. So even in a democracy, this system could fully function if we chose to come from a place of abundance as opposed to scarcity. If we chose to come from a place of being in service to others as opposed to being in service to ourselves. Just an idea. Just a principle. But something that can profoundly transform the world if that's what you choose. Because in reality, there's nothing wrong with the world. It's whole, perfect, and complete the way that it is. There's nothing wrong with any of you. You're whole, perfect, and complete the way you are. There's nothing wrong. Now, I have a preference. My preference is to have peace, abundance, and love in the world. Not saying that it's not there, because it is. There's plenty of peace. Peace in this room right now. There's plenty of love. It's all over the world. And every resource is in abundance. And I choose to see that and to come from that place. And when I choose to come from that place and to see that as the reality, I can manifest it. Not that I'm attached to it being different. See, notice I use the word transformation as opposed to change. Change suggests that there's something wrong. There's nothing wrong. I have preference, but I'm not attached to it. I'm not going to go fight for peace. What a ridiculous concept. I'm going to go fight for peace. I'm going to go fight for love. Right? So, just an idea, just a concept. This is really, in my opinion, what this is all about. When I get and I come from that space of transformation of myself, of being in service to others, I know naturally it will multiply and reflect from all those around me. Like I said, when I'm coming from that space, it's all around me. Everyone around me wants to be in service to me because I want to be in service to them. It's just natural that way. It's like a reciprocity, right? You know, you've heard of the universal laws and the law of attraction and things like that. It's born from within. When I transform, the world transforms. So maybe Gandhi should have said, be the transformation you want to see in the world. Because there's nothing wrong with it the way that it is. If you see something wrong, look inside. What about you? Are you projecting into the world that sees that there's a problem? You see injustice, how are you unjust? You see greed, how are you greedy? Right? You would not have the distinction of it and be able to see it if it didn't live inside of you. You would have no recognition of it. You've heard the story about Mother Teresa when the war protesters wanted her to march against war. And you think, oh, Mother Teresa, of course, she's going to march against war. She told them absolutely not. When you have a march for peace, I'll join. But I will not stand against war. She chooses not to see the war. She doesn't have war inside of her. All she sees is that every human being is whole, perfect, and complete. And all she sees is being in service to all of those beings. So why create war in her life when she could always be at peace? And coming from a place of peace and creating peace in the world. You may think you're here to learn some procedures because you don't have the answers. I'm telling you, you have the answers. You have everything you need inside you already. It's there. It's literally just changing that mindset and that comes from.